Loving God, we pray that you will open our ears and our hearts to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please take your seats? Well, we've been living at the vicarage here in Turville for some time now, and we very much like being in the countryside in the Hambledon Valley. One of the things that we've enjoyed is the variety of birds that come down into the garden, and particularly in the winter months, have had bird feeders outside. However, earlier in the year, Mark seemed to be filling and refilling with seeds and nuts on an almost daily basis. We thought that there must be particularly ravenous birds in Turville. But following some scrutiny, we realised that, in reality, we had a number of squirrels coming into the garden, masquerading as birds and eating their food. Well, determined not to be defeated, Mark embarked on some tactics to try to deter the squirrels. He tried hanging the bird food as high as possible, but the squirrels just jumped higher. Eventually, he took a very large jar of Vaseline and greased the pole of the bird feeder to prevent the squirrels climbing up it. The squirrels continued to attempt to climb the greasy poles, but frequently found themselves sliding back to earth, minus one or two hairs that remained stuck to the Vaseline. Although I must add that no squirrels were harmed in the writing of this sermon. We then bought a squirrel-proof bird feeder. Surely now we had the bird feeder of all bird feeders. But the squirrels here must be exceptionally intelligent, because very rapidly the squirrel had worked out how to unscrew the lid of the squirrel-proof bird feeder and had slid its head inside the plastic tube, rather like this, and was eating the food, leaving just its bushy tail sticking out of the top. And so squirrels continue to masquerade as birds in our garden. And there is a certain amount of masquerading going on in our readings this morning. In fact, the word used by Jesus to the Pharisees is much stronger than masquerading. He calls them hypocrites. Ouch. Nobody likes to be called a hypocrite. However, the word hypocrite and the word Pharisee become almost synonymous in the Gospels. The essential identity of a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something they are not. And the word is based on the theatrical word that means actor or to play a part. And this is how the Pharisees are described. These religious leaders of Israel were considered the most accurate experts in Jewish law, even by those who disagreed with them. But Jesus challenges the Pharisees and exposes their pretense, the way they masquerade as holy people, yet do not turn to God in their hearts. In this particular passage in Mark's Gospel that we heard this morning, the Pharisees are criticizing Jesus' disciples for not washing their hands before eating food. There were strict rules for the washing of hands, and this was not about hygienic cleanliness, but about ceremonial purity. These rigid rules about hand washing, both before a meal and in between each course, were so complicated that the book I was reading about them covered one whole page simply on hand washing. It was anything but simple. And to fail to wash one's hands properly was to be considered unclean in the sight of God. In Matthew's Gospel, we hear that the Pharisees also gave alms ostentatiously so that the people would praise them. They pray in synagogues and on street corners, that is to say, in full view of others. When they fast, they disfigure their faces. They tithe, that is, give a tenth of their spices of mint, dill, and cumin. And yet they ignore the law of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus claims that they clean the outside of the cup, but not the inside. They ignore the filth collected there, and the list goes on. Jesus, responding to the Pharisees' criticism of his disciples' lack of hand washing, quotes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. He says, "They honour God with their lips, but their heart is far from them." This is what makes Jesus angry. Legalism takes account of people's outward actions, but takes no account of people's inward feelings. And so Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites. The Pharisees inflicted religious rules on others, and Jesus is questioning the rules and why they are there. There is a big difference between following the rules and following Jesus. And the difference is the heart. You can follow the rules without cultivating the heart. So here is one way rules can be followed. John Ortberg, an American writer and theologian, tells of a friend of his who had been training for the armed services at one of the academies. At this academy, they were very serious about the clean your room rule. Sometimes his friend got ink marks on the wall as he worked, so he would simply chip the plaster off the wall. The room inspectors would give demerits for ink marks on walls, but they considered missing chunks of plaster to be a construction problem, so the rules ended up encouraging a slow demolition of the room. If we measure everything by the rules, we can end up distracting ourselves from what we're being called by God to do and to be. And it is in fact far easier to count out a tenth of our mint leaves or to follow washing hand instructions than to grapple with what it means on a daily basis to follow Jesus. To do the hard stuff, like loving those difficult neighbours as ourselves, requires searching our hearts. Searching our hearts is hard work, but so is pretending to be something we are not. And God wants us to be the very best version of ourselves. And encouraging us to be the best version of ourselves, James, in his letter that Jeff read to us, tells us that we might see bits in us that are not honest and true. When we look in the mirror, we may see the messy, mucky bits, the smudges of dirt, the things we need to deal with. And we have a choice. We can either deal with those messy bits with God's help, or we can go away and forget about them. Now, I don't know if the squirrels in our garden find it hard work pretending to be birds, but if we're pretending to be someone we are not, pretending to be someone other than who we are, then that is a constant challenge. I heard the story of a newly promoted young lieutenant who wanted to impress the soldiers who served under him. As he sat importantly in his new office, there was a knock on the door and a private came in. The lieutenant pretended to be on the phone. "Yes, sir, yes, General, you can count on me." And he banged down the receiver. Then he asked the private what he wanted. "I've come to connect your phone, sir," the private replied. Pretending to be someone we are not is hard work, which is why we feel so tired after an interview, or among others when we've got to project a certain image of ourselves. So how do we get to the heart of the matter? How do we search our hearts and, with God's help, become the best version of ourselves, without pretense, without hypocrisy? Singer-songwriter Matt Redman tells of how his church was struggling to worship God. So they did a very brave thing. They stopped all music at services, no music at all, so that they could focus on worshipping God differently and in a new way. And worship simply means to give God his worth. After a period of time, this particular church felt as though they did develop a new way of worshipping God. They felt closer to God, more in tune with God. And ironically, a wonderful song came out of this music-free time called "The Heart of Worship." Some of the words go like this: when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the ways that appear, you're looking into my heart. So let us not be like squirrels, masquerading, pretending to be something we are not. Let us avoid sliding down the greasy pole towards pretense and hypocrisy, because when our hearts are open to God, even though we may mess up, and we all do that, we all do it. When our hearts are open to God, the good stuff will flow out. Not the negative list that we find at the end of this reading, but goodness, justice, mercy, peace, as we work towards being the best version of ourselves with God's help. I can remember John Wigram talking about Glyn Millington, the URC minister, saying, "When you bump into Glyn, God splashes out." What parts of God's goodness would we like to splash out of our hearts, the hearts of each one of us here in the Hambledon Valley? Amen.